All right, let's go on a little further now, shall we? Looking in the Old Testament at the fact that the Lord is the counselor, the Lord is our wonderful counselor. He wants to counsel us in His Word. Look at Psalm, let's look at Psalm 34. Psalm 34, 18. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite, or that could be translated crushed spirit. Crushed spirit. We're looking at verses that don't directly use terms like guidance or counsel, but these verses have great insight and significant counseling implications in light of the fact that the Lord is our counselor. And here's some great insight. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. When your heart is broken, you just busted up in your inner person. Or to take a more common phrase from the counseling and or recovery world, when your heart is wounded. And I believe that there are biblical synonymous terms that would say your heart can get wounded. Broken. Deep inside, so pained that sometimes you might not know what to say or do. Here's the great truth. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. And the interesting thing is, it seems like the more broken your heart is, the further away you think the Lord is. But it's not the case. The fact is, He's near to the brokenhearted. And I tell you, if you've never had your heart broken, please tell me what planet you've been living on. I mean, life down here on earth has a way of just breaking your heart. And repeatedly. What do we do with people? Do we send them to the Broken Heart Clinic? Well, if they know and love the Lord Jesus and minister from the Word, praise God, they can find help there. But if they have only just theories of humanity there, even if they're well-intended, they're going to not be able to give all that God can give. And we were talking at break time with a dear sister who wanted to know, you know, the perspective of this class on counseling per se and those with, psychological degrees and all. Well, we'll get into that a lot in this class. And I say a lot of people in that track of life have good motivations and good hearts, and they want to help people. And often some of them have more compassion than even those in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say, shame on us. And those in the world, I'll tell you this, like Jesus said, the children of this age are wiser than the children of the kingdom sometimes. Because some of them are more diligent in their theories than we are in the very truth of God. And I don't condemn them for that. I say, shame on us. They don't know any better. The world only has its guesses, and some of them come from well-intended people, but we have better than that. We have the absolute eternal truth of God who knows the hearts of men. The church needs to become even more diligent in searching the Scriptures for help than the world has been in searching the guesses and theories of man for help. It's not, oh, that awful world. It's, no, church, let's wake up. We have in the Lord a wonderful counselor and the truth that is needed. And often there isn't compassion in the church for the brokenhearted. You know, it's kind of, you know, stiffen your upper lip, take two Bible verses and call me in the morning. You know, well, I believe totally in ministering Bible verses to each other. Totally. But we can do that with tenderness, with compassion, with sacrifice, with interest, with care, with wisdom. The Lord's near to the brokenhearted. We ought to be interested in the brokenhearted. And one of the great things we can announce to the brokenhearted is, the Lord is near to you right now. If your heart is broken, He's near to you. And He saves such as have a contrite spirit or a crushed spirit. It's one thing to feel broken inside. How about crushed inside? You ever been there? Not just broken, but multiple breaks. You know, like pulverized, crushed in spirit. Well, here's the great truth. The Lord saves such as have a crushed spirit. He's right there with you when your heart's broken, and He wants to go to work to rescue and deliver you if you're crushed inside. What a tremendous word to announce to people who are broken and crushed. Instead of just giving them 10 things to go try and do, or a theoretical book that guesses what's going on inside, hey, how about just beginning to minister a simple truth like this? Oh, there's more you can share, but what a great starting point. You're broken inside, you're busted, you're crushed. Here's the truth. I know it doesn't feel this way, but the truth must deal with wrong feelings. We walk by faith, not by sight or by any other of the five senses. Here's the truth, my dear friend. If your heart's broken, your spirit's crushed, the Lord is right there near to you, and He wants to go to work to rescue you. You know what that does? That starts to stir comfort and hope. Comfort and hope are two of the great things in the name of the Lord we're able to offer to each other as we counsel with the Word of God. Here's another one. Psalm 46, 1. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Oh, in this life on earth, how we need to find a refuge. Do you ever feel like just running and hiding someplace? I do. I get that urge every now and then. Oh, if there's just someplace to go run and hide. Well, there is. And it's not a place, it's a person. And you can do it any time of any day, instantaneously. God is our refuge. Do you ever feel weak? Huh? Life has a way of sapping our strength. You ever just feel weak? I can't face this. I'm wiped out. I'm helpless. I'm weak. Well, God is our refuge and strength. There's a place to go to hide and to find strength. And it's a person. And look at this. A very present help in trouble. Again, isn't it in troubled times that the senses tell you God's way, way off there? Because I don't notice Him here. Here I notice trouble. God must be somewhere else. You know, He's tied up with other affairs somewhere else in the kingdom or something. Oh no. God is a very present help. I like the way the scriptures put it. He's not just there. You know, we know He's omnipresent. Yeah, but when you're in trouble, He's a very present. In other words, He's giving His attention to you at that time, and He wants to hear from you crying out to Him. Every one of these verses we're sharing, I've personally run to them myself for help and strength, and I've shared them. Folks have said along the way in the class, yeah, but how do you really counsel when you get with someone? I just open the Bible and do this. Do the same thing that we're going to do all semester long. Some guidance comes in praying and listening, and the Lord guides us to which part of the Word. But I tell you, in counseling, basically, I didn't do for 25 years as a pastor, once I learned more and more the direction to go, I didn't do anything different than we're going to do every Tuesday night in here. Except the added issue in a counseling setting, the Lord must guide us where to get into the Word. You know, we don't just go, what's your problem? I say, no, just a second. One more, there. You know, that's not it. We have the Holy Spirit. And we'll talk a lot about this, the Word reservoir treasured, building up in our hearts and lives for the Spirit to bring to remembrance. But outside of that, hey, it's just this. What's happening when this is happening? The wonderful counselor is counseling. Psalm 55. Psalm 55, 22. This is a great one. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. That is, just shoved out of their place that He has for their lives or in His heart or plans. Cast your burden on the Lord. My goodness, how many people seeking a word of counsel, they're motivated by this enormous burden or series of burdens that are crushing them. We can encourage them. Cast your burden on the Lord. In fact, here, let me help you. Let me pray with you. Let me do some burden casting with you. You know? Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6:2. Hey, let me get under that burden with you. Let me lift the load in prayer. Let me help you cast that on the Lord. Cast your burden on the Lord and He shall sustain you. Oh, It's hard to go on when you're burdened, isn't it? I mean, can you imagine going about your work and the responsibilities every day with a 200-pound backpack on your back, you know? A lot of people, that's what they're doing every day. They're just trying to make it through one more day with this crushing load on their shoulders, emotionally, spiritually. One thing we can do when they come to us for help is, you know, let's at least start casting that burden on the Lord. Casting, the word is really literally roll it over. Is it heavy? You can't even lift it? How about if we just roll it over on the Lord, you know, in prayer. Just through prayer, shift it over on His shoulders. He can handle it. Won't crush Him. He spoke the universe into being. He created you and me. He can handle any load that's crushing us. Cast your burden on the Lord. He shall sustain you. Lord, take this burden. I roll it to You. I can't handle it. He'll do that and sustain us. He'll carry us along as He carries the load of the burden. Fantastic promises. These aren't potentialities. These are promises. Invitation. Cast your burden. He shall sustain you. Simple but powerful words. Why? Because this isn't just a human idea. Oh, I know, when people seem burdened, let's picture this image for them. Let's try to, you know. No, it's not a word game. This is the word of the Lord. This is God inviting us to cast our burden on Him and stand in the promise that He shall sustain us. Let's go a little further. Let's go to Isaiah 9:6. We've been there. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulders. See, He can carry on His shoulders the entire kingdom of heaven, including everything in your life and mine. And His name will be called Wonderful Counselor. Oh, I love this verse. This, I would say, is a verse God used to really get my thinking increasingly in the right direction. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. It's a descriptive name. We would call it a title. His name was Jesus, but here's a title name, a descriptive name, a title. Here's who He is also, Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. The Lord Jesus is a wonder of a counselor. There's almost an unspoken misconception in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ that, hey, there's no way we could have as much as the world has to offer when it comes to counseling. They got their theories, their schools of counseling, their degrees, their approaches, their geniuses. Hey, what do we got? Bunch of dumb fishermen and a Bible, you know? that kind of mentality. Hey, what do we have? We have the Wonderful Counselor. That's who we have. He's a wonder of a counselor. There's no counselor on earth like the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of it. He's God. Think of it. He created everything. Think of it. He has perfect wisdom and knows everything. And He's totally for us. He died for us. You ever been to a counselor who died on the cross for you? He died for us. And He rose again on our behalf. And He lives in us. He loves us totally, never leaves us. He's always for us and never against us. We don't even have to call up for an appointment. And when He does counsel us, He doesn't say, "Thank you, that'll be $75. I mean, what a counselor we have. And He lives in all of us. And by His wisdom and help, we can counsel each other by His Spirit. Oh, how we underestimate in the Church of Jesus Christ what is available to us in the arena of counseling. This dear sister was telling me, you know, I'm frustrated. I want to counsel and help people. And people are telling me counseling is bad. No, a lot of man's counsel is bad. Lacking. Distorted, but counseling is a great biblical ministry. How could counseling be bad if one of the titles of our Lord is Wonderful Counselor? It's a great ministry. It's an important ministry. It's a critical ministry. It's fallen much into disrepair as the world has taken it over. He's our Wonderful Counselor. How wonderful is He? You want to add here? The Isaiah verses answer it too, but add it to your notes. Colossians 2:3. How wonderful is our Lord Jesus as a counselor? Oh, what an answer to that question in Colossians 2:3. That verse speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. This is the Lord Jesus. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. How's that for a counselor? You ever met a counselor like that? Could you recommend any counselor in the world or the church as a human being that you could say this about? People say, oh, I just found the most wonderful counselor. Then they tell you about this group they went to or this therapy or this clinic or whatever. And I want to say, well, let me ask you something about that counselor. Can you say of that counselor that in them are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? Well, no. I mean, come on. Nobody's like that. Nobody's that wonderful. Oh, yes, they are. There's one who is. That's how wonderful our counselor is. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge, that's what counseling is about. People seeking counsel, they're looking for knowledge. They need to know about something. Or wisdom, how to use what they've already come to know. Wisdom and knowledge, that's what counseling is about. In our wonderful counselor, there are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Heaven is like a treasury house of infinite wisdom and knowledge. How do we tap into that? How do we access that treasury? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. In him are hidden all the treasures. Now think for a minute with me. Think of the implications of this. The scriptures are inspired. Literally, all the writings. More woodenly, literally, every word God brought forth through the apostles and prophets. Look at the word God chose here to tell us the truth. In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You want to know why I'm kind of a radical fanatical on this subject? It's because of verses like this. It doesn't say in him are hidden some of the treasures. It doesn't say in him are hidden most of the treasures. God's word to us is in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If any wisdom and knowledge that is actually accurate and matches heavenly wisdom and knowledge is found in any of these other theoreticians of the world, maybe somehow remaining in the fact that man was created in the image and likeness of God, if there's anything there, vaguely, faintly, like actual reality, hey, we've already got it. And everything else. The church for decades now has been acting as though some of the treasures are hidden in the Lord Jesus Christ. And those that are missing, Sigmund Freud and Carl Jung will fill out. God help us. Our God is far greater than that. In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Problem is, we as the church have not been mining that heavenly vein. And again, I don't condemn those in the world who want to help people. The world has its charlatans. Listen, the church world has its charlatans. But I don't condemn those in the world that are trying their best to help people with what they have. I do say it's not enough. But I don't condemn them. I just say, hey, there's a far better way. Get saved, get equipped. You know? It's not that you're an awful person. You do want to help people. I've met a lot of wonderful people out in the mental health professions. And many of them I respect greatly for their dedication, their sacrifice, their compassion, their seriousness about it. Problem is, God has a better way. It's not they're awful because they want to help. It's in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. What a counselor. How could you have a more wonderful counselor than that? And notice, those treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden there. They're not in a place. They're not in a philosophy. They're not in a psychological body of theories. They're in a person. And the person is God. God the Son. And the treasures are hidden there. Interesting, huh? They're not just lying on the pew, you know, at Sunday service or tucked in the bulletin. They're hidden in a person. What does that mean? To access those treasures, you've got to dig into a relationship with that person. How to find the counsel you need? Get to know the Lord Jesus Christ. How to become equipped to counsel others? Get to know the one in whom all the treasures are hidden. And in him, there's the unfolding of his wisdom and knowledge. What a wonderful counselor we have. The greatest counselor, humanly speaking, in the world or the church world you could ever find is so far beneath our wonderful counselor. Why settle for less? Why settle for less? Wonderful counselor. Let's go a little further. Isaiah 61. Our counselor. How wonderful was he? When he would come, what would he come to do for people and with people? How would he impact their lives? Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. We'll come to this later in the Holy Spirit in counseling, a critical issue. The Lord Jesus ministered by the power of the Spirit. This is a prophetic passage of Messiah. We know now that's Jesus. In fact, Jesus in Luke 4 quoted this about himself. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound. And eventually, end of verse 3, that lives may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. We'll come back to that later. Mighty oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. What did the Lord Jesus come to do? To preach good tidings to the poor, to the bankrupt spiritually, to needy lives. So many people seeking a word of counsel, they're doing so because they sense their own bankruptcy. I'm poor, I'm needy spiritually. What do they need? Good tidings proclaimed to them. The good tidings of the wonderful counselor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Again, so many people seeking a word of counsel, they're seeking counsel because their heart's broken. Well, Jesus, the wonderful counselor, was sent to earth to heal broken hearts. And as his servants, we minister in his name by his resources for his purposes. We're here in his name to offer healing to the brokenhearted. Also, liberty to the captives. Oh, how many people seeking a word of counsel, they're doing it because they're captive. The next phrase, they're bound. What do they need? Liberty, the opening of prison. A lot of people live in a daily prison that they haul around with them everywhere they go, and only God can see it. In bondage to bad thinking, bondage to bad habits, bondage in bad relationships. They're prisoners, they're captives. Some of the most bound, captive lives are those walking about every day in the so-called free world. My dad ministered for 62 years to prisoners behind bars. I did that a lot as a pastor. I've known men behind bars that are more free than people out in the free world. It's not a matter of geography. It's a matter of relationship. Jesus was sent to proclaim liberty to captives, opening of the prison to those who are bound. You and I, in his name, as his servants, being used by the wonderful counselor, we can proclaim liberty and freedom to those who are in bondage. It's one of our roles in his name, sharing his counsel. And our wonderful counselor, how does he work with people? Isaiah 42:3. I love this when you think of the fact that the Lord is our wonderful counselor. Isaiah 42:3. Another messianic prophetic passage. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. That's our wonderful counselor, the Messiah, when he would come. A bruised reed he would not break. A bruised reed. Take a little reed growing down by the riverside. They're not very substantial. If you bruise them, what do? They just hang over almost broken in half. Our wonderful counselor When a life is like a bruised reed, he won't break it. People can be very insensitive and kind of huffing and puffing. And even I think of the that sad aberration of the Word of Faith movement, you know, and somebody's broken and beaten down, and, well, what's the matter with you? You know, what's with your faith? You know, the problem is you know. And they come in a bruised reed, and here, let me minister to you. You know, there, take both parts and leave, you know. Be thou whole. What a cruel way to minister to people. See, our Messiah, our wonderful counselor, that's not the way he does it. A bruised reed, he will not break. And a smoking flax, he will not quench. Or a flickering wick, he won't extinguish. A lot of people seeking a word of counsel, they're like a flickering wick. Their hope, their faith is so low. They feel like they're about to be snuffed out. And man, even redeemed man in his best wisdom and effort, can just bluster in there. You know, they share their problem. And, oh, what's with you? You know, why don't you just be mighty for God? You know, you sit there flickering before me. Don't you know God wants you blazing? You know, we blow them out. Well, next. See, the Lord isn't like that. Sure, there's a time to be confrontive and bold, but it's not with a flickering wick. And who hasn't been there? Boy, I've been there where I just felt my walk with the Lord was like this little, oh Lord, if one more breeze comes, forget a hurricane. Or if someone in the church just says boo to me, you know, out. What a wonderful counselor we have. A flickering wick, he will not extinguish. He won't blow them away. He'll come to them and tenderly guard that flame. He'll gently fuel that flame. Sure, he wants a blaze there, but not by laying some burden on them, some performance trip. He wants to come to their aid. What a wonderful counselor we have. And think of it. Bruised reeds. We read at the end of Isaiah 61, God wants to make oaks of righteousness out of people. Think of it. We have such a wonderful counselor. He can take bruised reeds and turn them into mighty oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord that he may be glorified. That's the kind of counsel that is available to all of us. That's the kind of one we minister in and seek and share as we counsel. What a wonderful counselor we have. Let's just look at a few places in the New Testament in the time remaining. Our subject being the Lord is the counselor, and we're looking at verses that have significant implications for counseling ministry in light of the fact that the Lord is the counselor. For example, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Matthew 11, 28. Jesus is speaking, our wonderful counselor. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, this is the wonderful counselor. This is how the Lord counsels. Again, many people seeking a word of counseling, either from some professional or from a staff pastor or earnestly with a friend in Christ. Many of them are motivated to seek help because they're laboring, they're heavy laden, and there's no rest in their lives. They're just in anguish. Different measures of torment, burden, worn out, weary, just trying to truck through one more day. What does our wonderful counselor say? He doesn't give them 10 lessons on how to carry a heavier load. Oh, you think that's something? I want my followers to carry this much, you know. We'll shape you up with some weight training, you know. No, our Lord says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I, personally, me, your Lord and Master, your wonderful counselor, I will give you rest. I cannot tell you how many times in almost 33 years of walking with the Lord and 31 years of ministry, I cannot tell you how many times I've come to this verse. Loaded down, heavy laden, agitated within, no rest, tormented or anguish or anxiety, you name it, rest not there. I cannot tell you how many times I've come here and just said, Lord, I'm back. I need to hear your invitation again, so I'll read it. Come to me. Okay, it's about coming to you, a person, me coming to you. All you who labor, young, old, wise, foolish, newly born, pastor in the church, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Lord, that's me. I'm laboring, I'm loaded down, and I will give you rest. I can't tell you how many times I've said, Lord, here I am loaded, pressed down, weary, no peace inside. I'm going to take you at your word. Lord, would you do it again? Would you give me rest? He's never failed. He's never failed. Oh, the timing is varied. Probably some of that was me. Some of it maybe was something he was doing as he works all things together for good. He's never failed. Every time I've gone there, and it's been, you wouldn't want to know the number. Faithful every time. A lot of people coming to you and me for help. That's where they're hurting. No rest inside. No tranquility. Anxiety. Busy mind. They can come to Jesus. In fact, they can take his yoke and learn from him. What is the yoke for? It's certainly not so we can pull our half the load. That's kind of the legalistic view of it. Yeah, you yoke up here and, you know, you pull half and Jesus will pull half. That's the way you use yokes with oxen. But God's ways are not our ways. We yoke up with him to stay close to him. He'll pull the load. His yoke's easy, comfortable. His burden, it's light. Why? Because he's carrying the load. The yoke is so we'll stay right there with him. Lord, I yoke with you. I want to walk with you, talk with you, abide with you, learn from you. And in that yoke, we learn he's gentle and lowly in heart. Oh, my master, my king, my Lord, my wonderful counselor, he's meek and lowly. He's gentle and humble. Hey, that's the way I can walk. That's the way I need to learn to live. Meek, lowly, not Mr. Altogether on top of it, take charge, but meek and lowly. Learning of him, and you shall find rest for your souls. Ongoing rest, growing rest. Fantastic truth in light of the fact the Lord is our wonderful counselor. How about John 4? Gospel of John, chapter 4. Jesus ministering to the woman at the well. Verse 13, he says, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Oh, thirsty lives coming to Jesus Christ. A lot of people seeking counsel, they're doing it because they're thirsty. They're dry inside. They're the opposite of in revival. They're in spiritual dryness or deadness. They're spiritually thirsty, needy, looking for water that quenches the ache of the inner man. Jesus said, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, pointing to earthly physical water. You know, it's that way if you go to the wells of man to drink of their counseling theories. There's no way man could guess a way to drink satisfaction and refreshment deep in the spirit of man. Only God can do that. And he added, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up unto everlasting life. Kind of like John 7, 37 and 38, where Jesus said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. When you and I are dry and thirsty and needy, and we come to the Lord Jesus and drink, let him counsel us with his resources, the end result of it is out of our innermost being, can flow rivers of living water. When people come to you and me, sometimes they come to us for help because they're dry and thirsty. What do we offer them? Well, this invitation. If anyone thirsts, come to Jesus and drink. Again, I don't know how many times I've shared this verse with people in counseling. Someone comes, Bob, I'm just so dry. There's no vitality, no freshness in my walk. I'm just staggering along like dead religion. Boy, so many times I've listened and prayed to that, it's almost like when they're halfway through, I'm hunting John 7. You know, listen, the Lord has a word for you. If anyone thirsts, young, old, rich, poor, man, woman, married, single, you name it. If anyone thirsts, if anyone has a need inside, a spiritual dry place, a yearning, a need to have fulfillment in the Lord and His directions, let him come to Jesus. We're back to the person of Jesus and drink. How do you drink of a person? The next phrase tells us, he who believes in me. Anytime you and I take any issue where we're dry or needy and bring it to Jesus, believing he can quench the thirst. If you're physically thirsty and you see a glass of water, what do? You take it believing it can meet the need. How do you drink of Christ and his resources? If you're thirsty, come to him and say, here I am. Here's my thirsty area. My mate, my children, the job, school. You name it. My own walk, Lord. I'm thirsty. But I believe you can quench the thirst, Lord. I'm coming to you. I believe you can satisfy this need. Look how the scriptures deal with that. They jump to the end result. You'd think it would say, and that person will have their thirst satisfied. It doesn't say that. Why? That's assumed. It goes beyond that. Out of your innermost being can flow rivers of the same living water that quenched your thirst. In other words, if we characteristically take our thirst to Jesus, we'll become those people who characteristically have living water filling us and flowing out to others. What a fantastic word to share with thirsty lives. John 8:12. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus is the light of the world. That's how we can be called the light of the world. He, the light, lives in us. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Light that brings life. Spiritual life, abundant life. Again, a lot of people seeking counsel, they're seeking counsel because some kind of darkness is oppressing them. Darkness, lack of light, confused thinking, bad motives, attitudes, habits they want to keep hidden in the darkness. It's amazing how much counseling is a matter of shining God's light on man's darkness. It's amazing how much of it can be pictured that way. We'll talk more about that, in fact, in about 2 weeks, I think. It's light that deals with darkness. Nothing else can. Nothing else can. Jesus is the light. If we follow him, we won't walk in darkness, but we'll have the light of life, the light that brings fullness of life. Sometimes that verse alone in a counseling situation can give refocused direction and hope and invite that person in darkness, come to the Lord Jesus, not just for initial salvation, but for clarification and illumination, transformation. Seek the Lord in prayer, be in his word, seek the Lord Jesus, let him shine into your life. You won't walk in the darkness. He'll lead you on and on out into light. John 10:10. John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Again, many a person seeking a word of counsel, they're doing it because the enemy has been ripping them off. Often, as I've sat with people in a counseling situation, listening and praying, the thought has come to my mind, here's another ripoff case. The enemy, he comes only to rob, kill, and tear down, destroy. That's always what's on his mind. And when he rips into people with his lies, his deceits, his temptations, his seductions, his counterfeits, they get ripped off. And often, you know, hey, what's going on? I need help. Somebody help me. And they're seeking a word of counsel. What a great verse to go to and just remind them that the enemy is the one who wants to rip off, but Jesus came to give. He came that we might have life and might have it more abundantly. See, when our wonderful counselor is allowed to minister, this is what he does. He turns the rip-off and destructive activity of the enemy into his process of giving fullness of life. This is a strategic perspective once we know the Lord is the counselor. Hey, we want to get people into the counsel of the Lord so that they might find abundant life in Him and have the rip-off, condemning, destroying work of the enemy turned around. One more. John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way. He's the path. He lived it. He can lead us down it. He's the truth. He's reality. He's the life. The life you and I want to live as Christians, abundant, full, pleasing God, bountiful and fruitful, victorious and all that, He is that life. He is that life. And He wants to share that life with us day by day. This is a verse I've taken folks to often in counseling. If they have confusion or they're trying to improve their own life, even if they're born-again Christians and they're trying to remake themselves, I like to take them here. Hey, Jesus said, He's the way, the truth, and the life. You want to know the right way? You want to find reality, truth? You want to live a life? He is all of that. Come on, get to know Him. Spend more time with Him and less time in the self-help books. In fact, you know, if you can take it, spend no time in those books. Just get to know Him. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He'll share all that with you as you get to know Him in His Word and respond to Him in prayer. The Lord is the counselor. The Lord is the counselor. And He's a wonderful counselor. Everything we're going to look at in the rest of this quarter all anchors in this truth. If we don't anchor our thinking right here, we will drift on every other issue we're going to look at. This is the anchor. What is counseling? It's this fact. It starts with this. The Lord is the counselor. God wants us to grow in that perspective. And when we hear counseling, oh yeah, wonderful counselor. Not, oh yeah, I wonder what's the latest theory on how to get out of this disorder and that. No. Oh, yeah, the wonderful counseling. Oh, yeah, the wonderful counselor in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The implications are this. When we need counseling, we need to look to the Lord. Also, when others come to us for a word of counsel, we need to point them to the Lord. What is counseling? It's the Lord as counselor, counseling His people. Let's pray together. Lord, oh, thank you. Praise you, Lord, for being our wonderful counselor. Lord, forgive us for the many times and ways we have looked elsewhere. I sure have through the years. Lord, we do pray that you just give us a heart, a passion to look to you as our counselor and point others in the same direction. Thank you, Lord, that you're a wonderful counselor. Lord, grow our vision this quarter concerning how wonderful you are as counselor. And may we rejoice and exult in that and pass it on to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.